welcome to the New Zealand Executive Career Guide, a series of podcasts aimed at discussing current trends in the New Zealand job market with a view to assisting senior executives and senior professionals in taking their careers and companies to the next level. I'm Stephen Levy of New Zealand executive search firm Hobson Levy, and in this ongoing series we will explore a number of issues of particular relevance to the Australian and New Zealand job markets. Above all, we hope to add some value to you in your quest to take your career to the next level. This podcast is entitled The People Challenge. It is drawn from a talk I have recently given at a national conference and looks at the challenge of retaining and recruiting quality individuals in the current tight employment labour market. So in this podcast, I'm going to talk about firstly the current environment, i.e. the current labour market. Really, we're in obviously a market of relatively full employment. Secondly, I'm going to talk about why this is a problem. Thirdly, I'm going to talk about some strategies to deal with it. Fourthly, I'm going to talk a little bit about retention, which is a very important strategy in dealing with the current tight labour market. Fifthly, why do staff leave in the first place? We're going to have a look at that. And then lastly, we're going to talk about succession planning, which is going to be critically important in the next 20 to 30 years. So firstly, let's think about the current environment. We basically have a situation of virtually full employment. Unemployment is at something like a 30-year low, sitting at around 3.6%. Anecdotally, the feedback really is everybody who wants a job pretty much has one. So what does this mean? Well, it means we're in the grip of a war for talent. This phrase was first coined by, I think it was McKinsey in the 1990s, and it is indeed a very overused phrase, but it's extremely accurate. Employers and companies out there are finding themselves in the grip of a huge talent shortage and having to fight very aggressively in the market to both attract and retain talent for their organizations. This issue is exacerbated by demographic issues. In Australasia, in the next 10 to 20 years, there will be two workers retiring for every worker coming through to replace them. We all know about the aging population. We all know the baby boomers will be retiring in large numbers, and there simply isn't as big a bubble in the population coming through to replace them. So the changing face of the average worker will be a real issue. Workers are going to get older. We're going to need to keep them in our organizations for longer. And we are also going to have, even if we do those things successfully, we are also going to have still a shortage of workers within Western populations. Now, immigration may well be an answer to that, but there are political and social complexities associated with that also. So failing some huge boost in immigration, employers have to prepare themselves for a situation where they will have older workers and they will have less workers, and they will need to attract new ones and hang on to those they already have. To complicate the issue even further, attitudes are changing. So for each of those one workers coming through to replace two baby boomers, it's not as though they have the attitude of the baby boomers. They have a very different attitude. There is no more job for life type mentality. This is often characterized as disloyalty, but it really is just a desire for constant different challenges and a desire to be stimulated within one's role. And if you can't get that within your role, it's a desire to move on. So really the job for life attitude is gone. This is going to mean that the next generation will change jobs much more frequently unless, and it's a big unless, they can be given jobs where they have a variety of challenges over relatively short time frames, which is, even for the best employer, extremely hard to achieve. So people are going to move jobs more often. The tag or label of Generation Y is really just a generalization which attempts to capture all of this. Generation Y are often characterized as disloyal, lazy, and with a short attention span, but I think that's probably being a little too harsh on them. They simply have a different attitude, which is one of constantly seeking a challenge, and if they can't get that challenge in their current roles, they will move on. But all the research has shown that if Generation Y employees are given challenges and given the stimulation they require, they will remain good employees. So why is this a problem? Indeed, is it a problem? Well, it is. Full employment and a war for talent are going to create significant issues for businesses globally, and in particular businesses in New Zealand. British companies worry about losing their talent to the US. Asian companies worry about losing their talent to the UK, in the US. The Australians are worried about losing their talent to Asia. And New Zealand's very much at the bottom of that pecking order as we fret about losing our talent to pretty much everywhere. So we are, and have been for a number of years, in the middle of really a labour market crisis. And that's a problem for a number of reasons. Firstly, it diverts the attention of the business's leadership from the core business of running the business. Every role that goes unfilled means management having to be dragged into the business of execution rather than strategy, leadership, and management. Every unfilled role in an organization leads to lost revenue, i.e. revenue that employee could generate. It leads to decreased return on investment. The various fixed costs within a company are not being appropriately leveraged if you don't add the variable revenue-generating capacities of employees onto that fixed cost. Another problem is that when short of employees, companies and individuals tend to apply band-aid solutions. They'll paper over the cracks a little bit. They'll perhaps hire contractors who end up being more trouble than they're worth. They will dip down and do the work themselves. They will load work onto existing employees who then get disgruntled and leave. So a lot of these band-aid solutions compound the problem rather than fixing it, but we're all guilty of it. And overall, the labour shortage and the war for talent simply stalls a company's growth momentum. It's hard to get go-forward strategy and go-forward growth in your business if you're constantly on the back foot trying to deal with shortages of quality people. And perhaps the biggest problem of all, companies are like any organism. They're in a state of constant evolution or decline. If your business isn't growing and advancing, if it isn't adapting to the situation it finds itself in, then it is in a state of decline. Very few companies remain in the Fortune 50 today in the US who were there 30 years ago. The rest have either vanished or are in decline because they have not adapted quickly enough. So your business has to adapt to the changing labour market that we find ourselves in, or quite simply, it will decline. Now, all this might seem like a pretty negative message, but it actually needn't be. I think it's important at this point that nobody panic. It's all about your company or business employing strategies that will help you be successful in this new landscape. So let's stay on recruitment. We'll talk about retention in a minute. Some of the old methods of recruitment in this new world are simply going to be out. Firstly, there's the age-old method of just simply hoping someone pops up or comes across your radar, that you bump into somebody or someone has a friend who's looking for a job. Frankly, no one's looking for a job anymore, so that historic method of simply hoping someone comes across your path just won't cut it anymore. Poorly targeted newspaper advertising is also out. There's a place for advertising, and I'll come on and talk about that in a minute, but simply drafting an ad in a hurry and getting something in the paper in the hope that someone will respond to it just will not work. People simply don't respond to printed advertisements anymore unless there's something unusual or particularly attractive about them. So what can you do? Well, these old methods are going to be replaced with somewhat more sophisticated methods. Firstly, there is leveraging your networks to the maximum. Now, this doesn't mean simply hoping a friend of a friend will come across your path. As I've discussed previously, that method is out the door. What this means is proactively and aggressively leveraging the networks that you have. Pulling together your fellow managers or executives or partners, pulling together your employees, and really brainstorming, probably for 2, 3, 4 hours even at a time, who you might know who could perform some of the roles that are vacant within your organization. And if you don't know enough people, it's then that brainstorming who you might know that might know somebody. We all know there's only 6 degrees of separation between us all, so it really is possible to get to anybody through your networks if you really try and do it correctly. Now, this is not easy. Any professional headhunter knows that this sort of activity takes real thought and time. You've got to be prepared to call maybe 30, 40, 50 people you know who might just know somebody who might be right for the roles you're thinking of. You've got to talk to them meaningfully about the role. That might take you 10, 15 minutes. They've got to think about it. They'll come back to you and have another discussion. They'll refer you some people. You've got to talk to those people. It really is quite an effort, and this is why most people can't be bothered doing it. If you can't be bothered doing it, your other option is to retain the services of a professional headhunter. These individuals do this for a living, their networks are vast, and because it's their job, they really can put in the time and effort to get to a result through this method. They also employ research professionals and research tools to cast the net as widely as possible to consider individuals for roles. I mentioned earlier that there also remains a place for advertising, and I do believe this. It may not necessarily be print advertising, of course. We could be talking about online advertising or person-to-person advertising at events, or even, dare I say it, more innovative methods such as those recently employed by some companies to advertise in virtual online worlds. These are the sort of innovations companies are going to have to utilize to stay ahead of the game in the emerging recruitment marketplace. And advertising in print and online media is going to have to get more inventive. You have to think about the levers that you can pull to attract people to your company. What are your key points of difference? Why should someone join you over your competitors? And really emphasize those in any advertising that you do. Now, of course, recruitment is just one half of the challenge or one half of the puzzle. Retention is obviously equally important. If you can retain your key people and they don't leave, then recruiting them doesn't even come into the equation. So in the new environment, retention is going to become increasingly important. As we've noted, the balance of power really has shifted from employer to employee. Now, this doesn't mean employers need to crawl or toady to their employees or go over the top in terms of trying to accommodate their needs, but it does mean that employees need to be treated a little differently than they were treated in the past. There's really a move that's going on from moving away from manager to coach. By that I mean facilitating, supporting, encouraging your employees, a move away from a more directive style into a more inclusive, consultative style. One necessary consequence of this is that human resources, or human capital, has to be taken increasingly seriously. Too often we see organizations where HR issues are just foisted off to those who get sort of stuck with the hospital pass of looking after that issue. HR needs to be taken seriously. It needs to be given to those who are best at it in an organization. It needs to be given to HR professionals if the organization is sufficiently sizable and the issue sufficiently complex. So you will see human resources becoming increasingly important as part of the battle to retain talented staff. Induction will need to be handled carefully. Those first 2, 3, 6 months, even the first year of an employee coming on board is a very crucial time. Often it's the phase where the seeds are sown which later on lead to an employee leaving, some seeds of dissent. So induction has to be handled increasingly importantly with more formal programs to adequately bring people into the organization and ensure they are set up for success. People really need to be kept challenged, as you'll see the recurring theme of this podcast. This is going to be particularly important with Generation Y coming through and making up a larger and larger portion of the workforce. So if retention is going to be important, we perhaps have to understand why people leave in the first place. There are a number of reasons why staff move on. Now, the first one I want to talk about is money. Sometimes the conventional wisdom or the latest theories are that money isn't important, that people are leaving seeking other challenges, that they are leaving because they don't like their boss, and a variety of reasons like that. Now, that is all true, but I think sometimes you can throw the baby out with the bathwater a little bit on this one. Money remains important. The people we see in our practice do consider money to be an important issue. They're working very hard. Good employees work hard and they expect to be compensated for that. They look around them. Relativity isn't very important. They look around them at others and what they are earning. And if they feel that they're lagging significantly behind others who are working less hard, they will leave for money. So perhaps money isn't the be-all and end-all and it's not the single reason why people move on, but it will be a factor. And to point at other reasons for people moving on and use that as an excuse to pay people poorly will come back and bite you in the form of losing staff. Secondly, employees arguably have a shorter attention span these days than they used to, so they are keen to move on after a period of time. This is again the Generation Y thing. Younger employees are categorized as getting bored easily and looking for a new challenge and moving on quite quickly. Take issue with this to a certain extent. I don't think this generation that are coming through in the workforce necessarily have a shorter attention span as such. They just have a heightened appetite to be challenged. If they can get that within their existing organization, there's absolutely nothing to suggest that they'll get bored and move on any quicker than anyone else previously would have. So again, the main thing to take away here is that staff want to be challenged and they also want to be nurtured and to grow. If they can do all that within their organization, you'll have a very loyal employee, and that should be our challenge to make that happen. This leads me on finally to the thorny issue of succession planning. There's a lot of talk about succession planning at the moment as the baby boomers approach retirement age and start to want to exit their businesses. There's been a lot of surveys and literature around recently which has demonstrated that baby boomers are wanting to exit their businesses but perhaps haven't got a succession strategy in place or a succession plan in place. And this is going to be a real issue in the next 5 to 10 years. There simply aren't enough talented people coming through to inherit or take over the businesses that the baby boomers will be looking to pass on, sell, or leave behind in some form. So if you are looking to put some succession planning in place in your business, I would suggest you make it an art. And by that, I mean achievable, real, and timely. First of all, let's talk about it being achievable. What I mean by that is those you want to come through and inherit or acquire your business, you need to set the goal for them of coming through to partnership or equity, whatever you want to call it. You need to make that an achievable goal. And by that, I mean it needs to be achievable for them, not necessarily achievable for you or achievable for some sort of perfect hypothetical employee or manager that you might have in your mind. You have to set some realistic targets that they can achieve to come through to some sort of equity in the business. Secondly, it has to be real. And by this, I mean there has to be a concrete plan in place which delivers a tangible result to the person coming through to acquire equity in a business. There are a lot of phantom schemes around. There are a lot of minority schemes, smoke and mirror type schemes that purport to offer something that at the end really is a little bit of a phantasm or a mirage. Individuals succeeding into a business will see through this. If you're really trying to retain control and give only a token amount of control away, that will be very obvious, and therefore you lose the individuals that are coming through. So secondly, it has to be real. Thirdly, succession planning has to be timely. One could have a very real scheme that might take 30 years, and for the reasons we've been talking about, people just are looking for more than that. They are looking for more rapid challenges in their career. They are looking for progression. And if you try and outline some sort of scheme that is simply going to take them to the best part of retirement themselves before they see some sort of succession occurring, again, you will lose them to more attractive options, and there will be plenty out there. In other words, the philosophy of work 30 years and you just might make partner, that sort of philosophy is increasingly outdated and doesn't really cut it anymore in today's working environment. Now, some of this all sounds like touchy-feely HR speak. It probably is, but the reality is we don't have a choice, and that's for the reasons I've outlined at the beginning of this podcast. The world has changed, and organizations need to adapt to the environment we find ourselves in. Those organizations that do adapt and do these things consistently will be those that flourish and grow. In an environment where resources are going to be increasingly hard to attract and retain, resources will naturally gravitate to those organizations who are adapting best to this environment. Put in short, if your business doesn't do this, you'll find you won't have the people resource you need to push forward, and your business will ultimately decline. You will be relegated to fishing really from a second or third class talent pool. To draw a rugby analogy, there's going to be a first division of management and executives. They'll gravitate to those organizations who are doing the sorts of things I've been talking about. And there will be a third division. And again, as has occurred in rugby, the days of one division being able to challenge the players or teams in another are long gone. I genuinely believe that the sort of technological change that we've seen in the last 20 to 30 years, where processing power for computers has got more and more rapid, we have mobile technology, all these kind of developments that have changed the way we do business, I believe we are about to go through a similar radical transformation in the human capital area, such that in 5 to 10 years, the human capital environment will be unrecognizable from the environment of 20 years ago. If your business is to flourish and succeed, you have to adapt to this environment and make the most of it. And herein lies the opportunity. If you can take these steps and set up a business that is going to succeed in this type of environment, you will dominate and flourish over your competitors who don't. You will attract the people that they cannot retain, and you will succeed in your business while others wither. That draws to a close this discussion of the current people environment and the challenges and opportunities that lie ahead. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast.
Well, that concludes this episode of the New Zealand Executive Career Guide. I'm Stephen Levy from executive search firm Hobson Levy. And until next time, onwards and upwards.